It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good evening. It's 6:30 at KSL News Radio. Jeff Kaplan here. We have broken clouds, 34 degrees. KSL's top story. Some good news about the spread of COVID-19 in Utah. Health officials say new cases and the rate of infection has dropped. But they still say the hospitals are overwhelmed and people need to follow the safety guidelines. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
With the rolling seven-day average case rate and the average positivity rate going down, state epidemiologist Angela Dunn says the numbers are going in the right direction.
It's so promising that the really high case counts we saw for a few days last week were not sustained.
Governor Spencer Cox says they've been able to nearly double the amount of vaccines administered over the past week, and they've been able to increase the amount of testing. He says the federal government did not give the state the amount of tests they promised, but other agencies have stepped up.
New testing suppliers have come online, and their production has ramped up.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Utah Senate President Stuart Adams is hoping virtual public participation in this year's legislative session will encourage more people to take part. Adams spoke this morning about the session that begins next week. Besides COVID concerns, there are also concerns about security if they have an open session on Capitol Hill.
Because of both the virus and the in Utah, I think we try to plan for the worst, but then hope for the best.
Adams says any lawmakers who wish to actually go to the Capitol for the sessions can, but other lawmakers and the public can join meetings online via Zoom or at the legislature's website. With most universities across the state set to resume classes, local health experts are warning about the possible impact it could have on the state's COVID outlook. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik has the story.
Although Dr. Eddie Stenium with Intermountain Healthcare points out that the spike could actually be elongated if Utah's younger population doesn't take mask wearing and social distancing seriously.
Classes at BYU resumed this week, while classes at the U get underway next week. The FAA is beefing up their punishment for unruly passengers, while one airline has banned the people who heckled Senator Mitt Romney. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has more.
The FAA says you can now be fined up to $35,000 and face possible prison time if you disrupt a flight.
We have zero tolerance for threatening or violent behavior by passengers, and we'll take the strongest possible enforcement action against any passenger who engages in it.
The agency's administrator, Steve Dixon, says they've seen more disturbances recently stemming from mask wearing and the violence at the Capitol. Senator Romney recently had people confront him at the Salt Lake Airport. Delta says those people have now been added to their no-fly list, as have those who targeted Senator Lindsey Graham. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
President-elect Biden, in the last hour, announced a nearly $2 trillion COVID relief plan. Maria Soleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, the president-elect laying out a two-step plan of COVID rescue and recovery. The first stage of the plan will speed up vaccine distribution and testing, while the second part will boost the economy. Mr. Biden says he knows his plan doesn't come cheaply, but we can't afford not to act.
The return on these investments in jobs, racial equity, will prevent long-term economic damage, and the benefits will far surpass the cost.
The president-elect says by investing now boldly, smartly, and with unwavering focus on American workers and families, the plan will strengthen the economy, address inequity, and set America on a more sustainable financial course. The New York Police Department is facing a civil lawsuit over the conduct of some officers during Black Lives Matter protests. New York Attorney General Letitia James says the suit is the result of dozens of documented incidents of officers arresting bystanders, using pepper spray, and hurting those who posed no threat.
What we saw was legal rights and protections tossed aside. We cannot say that leadership turned a blind eye to what was happening on our city streets because we know they saw it all. We all saw it.
The lawsuit hopes to reform policing practices by appointing an independent monitor to hold officers and the department accountable. And a waitress in Orlando, Florida, is being called a hero after her instincts were correct about a child patron at her restaurant. Flavine Carvalho says she was waiting on the family and noticed that the 11-year-old boy wasn't allowed to order food.
I'm a mother also, and this was very strange to me because you don't deny food for a kid, especially in a restaurant.
Carvalho called police after noticing bruises on the boy's face. Police arrested the boy's father and mother on child abuse and neglect. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
New research shows increasing rates of suicide risk, attempts, or deaths among people who have autism. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards reports.
The risk of suicide is even higher for women and girls. That's because some are undiagnosed with autism and they suffer from depression and anxiety. Others are diagnosed but mask or hide their symptoms. BYU professor of psychology and neuroscience, Michael South, says society needs to have more empathy.
Conflict comes here in between the autistic and non-autistic people. Both can communicate well, they just have a hard time communicating with each other.
South says more acceptance could decrease the feelings of rejection and suicidal thinking, and there ought to be more research funding to look at prevention. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
There's an Amber Alert still issued for a one-month-old girl kidnapped by her mother. The suspect, 38-year-old Jacqueline Gardner, was last seen with the baby around 2 this afternoon in Sandy. Gardner is described as 5'8", 165 pounds, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. The baby she took has blonde hair and brown eyes. Gardner is reportedly driving a 99 VW Jetta. It's red. The license plate is 2G4WZ. KSL News Time 6:36. Ricky, all this traffic going on, man.
I know, it's been pretty rough, but we are seeing it improve. We still have leftover slowdowns because it's just going to take a while for this much traffic to just ease up. So you will still see a heavy and slow ride northbound I-15 in Davis County from Farmington through Layton. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thank you, Ricky. Coming up, say we achieve herd immunity, right? What happens to the coronavirus then? Does it just go away? No. No, no, no. My minute of news is next. I'll explain. Stay with us. 6:36.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.